What in the world is going on? We pick up the newspaper or pick up our tablet and read about yet another senseless killing from some deranged person. We see soaring prices with inflation. We just have a sense of uneasiness with the situation in our world, the war in the Ukraine, and all the things taking place. Hey, is the coming of the Lord near? That's what James told us. You to be patient, strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. It is very near. Now, one of the things that is shocking to me is the church is not talking about the snatching away that's spoken of in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, our blessed hope, the coming of our Savior to take us out of here. And we're going to talk about that today. Can we really believe in the rapture, and what is taking place in our world that would make us believe the coming of the Lord is at hand? You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. And today, to help us with our discussion, is my good friend, Dr. Gary Frazier. Dr. Frazier is an author, a conference speaker, a pastor, and someone who has studied intensely the subject of Bible prophecy. And so, Dr. Frazier, we welcome you to the program today.
Hey, Jeff. It's great to be with you again. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, you're very welcome. Thank you for coming on. I know that our hearts are saddened with the passing of our friend, Dr. Ed Heinsohn. Dr. Ed went home to be with the Lord on Saturday after battles with heart condition, and he was scheduled to be here right after Easter. We were promoting Prophecy Sunday with Dr. Ed Heinsohn. He had to cancel because of health issues and went home to be with the Lord on Saturday. Gary, yeah. I know you were close with Ed Heinsohn. What can you tell us about his passing?
Well, Ed and I were just very, very close for more than a decade. We traveled together along with Tim LaHaye doing about 85 different conferences across the country called the Left Behind Conference on Prophecy. And so we were extremely close. And I don't know of anybody who was a more prolific writer, a greater theologian and communicator than Ed Heinsohn. He wrote over 40 books and edited a number of different study Bibles and textbooks, and of course served for 48 years at Liberty University. Just an incredible personality and great preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to miss him, but we're going to know that we'll see each other again. Heaven's enriched, and now we're just preparing. We'll be flying up for the funeral service on Thursday up in Lynchburg, Virginia. And I've been asked to pray up there, and so I'm looking forward to being with the family, and they're just precious. But, you know, Jeff, talking about, people not paying attention to what's happening in our culture today and wondering if Jesus is coming, you know, what's staggering to me is, as you know, 24% roughly of the Bible was prophetic at the time that it was written. And so the bottom line is that so much of Scripture speaks to us of the future. And the bottom line is no one can tell us about what the future holds except the one who's already been there. And that is the God himself who sees the beginning from the end. You know, Isaiah 46, verse 9 and 10 says, "For I am God and there is none other. I'm God and there's none like me," declaring or making known the end from the beginning. God is timeless. He is eternal. And to God, the future is the past. And so he and he alone is qualified to tell us what the future holds. Now, he doesn't give us every minute detail, but he does paint for us the big picture in Scripture for us to be able to understand and recognize where we are on God's eternal timeline if we're paying attention. Sadly, most are not. And many people attend churches today where they never hear anything about biblical prophecy, the coming of the Lord, God's eternal plan for the ages, and on and on and on it goes.
Well, and that is a shock to me. Now, as we were talking before the program, back about, when the Left Behind series was really popular some whatever it was, 25, 30 years
27
ago.
27 years ago.
Yes. Well, everyone seemed to be talking about that. Everyone was reading about that. And I know that Jerry Jenkins was writing the story, but Tim was giving the theology. And it seemed like we were, not all of us on the same page, but many in Christianity were saying, hey, this is what the Bible teaches about the coming of the Lord, the secret coming and then the second coming. That is not the prevailing view today, is it?
No, it's not. And what's happened is, like so many elements in our culture, we've had this seismic shift that has taken place. We and frankly, let me just be clear, church teachings are always downstream from culture. And what we've seen happen is we're seeing that in our culture and in training and our seminaries, Bible colleges, so forth and so on, we've been sounding an uncertain sound for a long, long time. In other words, when I went through seminary, the idea was that here are various positions concerning the coming of Jesus for his saints. No one can deny that Jesus promised to return. But that's what John 14 is all about. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. If you believe in God, believe in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions, if it were not so. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you, gather you to myself and take you to the Father's house. This is the blessed hope, the great promise that Jesus makes to us. And yet, while we say we believe that, we live our lives as though we don't. But this shift began to take place when we began to question, well, there's the pre-trib rapture, mid-trib rapture, post-trib rapture. There's historical premillennialism. There's preterism. There's the pre-wrath. You know, and it's almost like, hey, guys, here's a whole spectrum here. You just pick one that you like. You see, the problem with that is that every position cannot be correct. There is one that is right, and the remaining numbers are wrong. And the fact is, God is always singular when it comes to any doctrinal teaching in Scripture. He never presents it as a buffet, pick one. It's always a single view. And the reality of it is the early church, even though your people that are listening to us today would say, well, the early church didn't believe this. That's simply not true. They'll say, well, the idea of a quote-unquote rapture is a new idea. That is not true. We have documented historical evidence proving that that is a lie. The bottom line is the early believers expected Jesus to return at any moment. And that is exactly what Jesus wanted us, all of us, from his ministry forward, to look forward to. That's why he said, no man knows the day nor the hour, not even the angels, not the Son, only the Father. Why? He wants us to live our lives as though today might be the last, because it promotes urgency. It promotes prayer. It is motivational. And the bottom line is, Jeff, here's the deal. As I told a group just the other day, I can tell you that one of two things is going to happen in every person's life, and that is, A, you're going to die. That's a 100% deal. Or you're going to experience the coming of Jesus. The reason we're not to focus so much on a date and time, and the reason Jesus told us this, was because of the fact that Hebrews 9:27 says it's appointed a man once to die, and after that, the judgment of the evaluation. So God doesn't want us focusing on something on a calendar. He wants us, as Matthew 24, verse 42 says, he wants us to be watching for his coming. And so that's what believers need to be doing, and ignoring all the noise surrounding the skeptics concerning biblical prophecy and the coming of Jesus, because in churches, in many, 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 many churches today, younger pastors have just turned away from biblical prophecy completely and sought to ignore it.
Yeah, why is that, Gary? Why do you? I know you go to a lot of churches. Why are pastors not talking about the return of the Lord as we get so close? I mean, we're closer now than ever, obviously, but it seems like that would be on everybody's heart.
Well, I think it's the primary reason is one. The pastors are confused themselves. Again, they've been presented these various scenarios, and they truthfully have never studied them and come to a Holy Ghost understanding, a Holy Spirit understanding of what the Scripture is teaching. So they just choose to ignore it. Now, as a former pastor, I can tell you that every pastor has a call to preach the whole counsel of the Word of God, not bits and pieces. Secondly, we are called to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. We're failing in those responsibilities because we're afraid that we're going to say something that's going to be offensive to someone, or we're going to say something and someone is going to come up and challenge us on it, and we don't know what our real doctrinal stance and why. You know, Peter says, be ready to give a reason for the hope that lies within you. You know, if a man of God is going to preach the Word of God to the people of God, he needs to understand what the Scriptures actually say and be able to defend doctrinal position. You cannot ignore the fact that, I'll use this seminary term, eschatological, which simply means prophecy, as you know, but for our listeners' sake, it's an eschatology, is a doctrine of Scripture. And again, it occupies 24 to 25% of the Scripture. So how can a pastor ignore something that is that prominent in the Word of God, and yet they do? I'll give you an illustration. Many years ago, we had a group of senior pastors in Israel. We were just leaving a site, and the pastor of a mega church in the Florida area said to me, Gary, I'm not going to invite you to come to my church. And I said, whoa, where'd that come from? You know, he said, no, I like you. And I know that most of these guys are asking you, telling you that they want you to come preach for them and so forth. But I'm not going to have you, because if you were to come, you would say things about biblical prophecy, and then people after you're gone would come and ask me questions, and I don't know what I think about all that, so I'm just not going to have you. And I stopped, and I looked him in the face, and I said, brother, listen, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to rebuke you because you're not doing your job as a shepherd of the sheep to communicate the truths of the Word of God to your people. And if you don't teach them what the Word of God says, they'll get those teachings from someone else who may or may not be theologically and biblically sound. So I would encourage you, if you don't feel competent to teach these people, you need to bring somebody in. And I don't care if you have to bring them in for an extended period of time, whether it's, you know, a week or 2 weeks or 10 Wednesday nights or whatever you've got to do. You've got to communicate this to people because the Bible teaches it. And by the way, Jesus does not intend for us to ignore what he has put in the Scriptures for us, especially as it pertains to the last day. Here's the good news. 27 years ago, the first Left Behind book came out. Do you know, Jeff, it's still selling 15,000 copies every month.
Wow.
So there are some people out there who are still interested. In fact, I've just written my first fictional novel. And it's in the hands right now of a literary agent. But anyway, it's entitled The Event, subtitled The Dream of World Peace Realized. And I'm excited about getting it out because it has a message concerning what the future holds. And I'll be sure and let you and your listeners know when it becomes available.
Oh, that'd be great. Okay, now, Gary, we do want to get in the broadcast today, we want to get into what is going on in the world, because it's not haphazard, it's not random. All this is happening according to God's design and plan, but it can be very unsettling for us as we're living through it. So give us just a preview of that.
Yeah, look, what happened was Jesus talked about how these things, you know, he mentions in Matthew 24 that there'd be famine, pestilence, earthquakes, and so forth and so on. But then he says all of these are like the birth pains. Now, we've all heard this before, but maybe we have listeners who are not familiar with this. But the idea behind the birth pains is, of course, two things. One is is frequency, that is, the pains come more often. And there is intensity in that they get more intense. So Jesus is teaching us the closer we get to the time of his return, the world situation, there will be an increase in intensity in these world events, i.e. famine, pestilence, earthquake, ethnic strife, wars, rumors of war. We're watching the snowball started in 1948 when Israel became a nation again.
Well,
and I don't
Gary,
know if our listeners know this.
Yeah, Gary, let me break in. We're coming up on a break, but you're listening to Dr. Gary Frazier, and this is Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're talking about end times. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hey, Here at the AFA Foundation, we help families just like yours shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
AFA Foundation's Associate Director, Chelsea Wildman.
We would love to work with you to see if a charitable gift annuity is right for your situation. With a charitable gift annuity, you'll be giving to the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association, and you'll be ensuring that you receive a lifetime income and excellent tax benefits. You can fund a CGA through cash, credit card, or stock. Why not reach out to the AFA Foundation team today?
A charitable gift annuity benefits you and helps ensure the AFA will impact America for generations to come. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Give us a call and let's talk about a charitable gift annuity.
Are you in need of hope, encouragement, and the love of God? I'm Pastor Salem. I'd like to invite you to join us for the Christian Worship Hour. For decades, I've been teaching the Word of God so that people everywhere can experience the love and power of a personal relationship with our Lord. Tune into this station this weekend and prepare to be blessed and encouraged by another life-changing message.
Learn more about our program at ChristianWorshipHour.com.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ, that is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
The Raising Godly Boys Minute with Mark Hancock.
During Jesus' day, leprosy was an awful disease that caused horrible deformities. That's why when Jesus healed 10 lepers, they were thrilled. They probably rushed away to tell the exciting news to their family and friends, and yet only one leper returned to give thanks to Jesus. We're quick to blame those 9 lepers, but at times, we're just as ungrateful. We may not have leprosy, but our Lord still helps and strengthens us in many ways. And He often uses people around us to accomplish His will. So when was the last time you said thanks to someone who provided help or encouragement? Remember, the more grateful you are, the more you'll see God's goodness and grace in your life. For more encouragement and parenting advice, visit Trail Life USA or RaisingGodlyBoys.com.
Find free resources to help you at RaisingGodlyBoys.com. RaisingGodlyBoys.com. RaisingGodlyBoys.com.
What in the world is going on? Are we experiencing the birth pangs Jesus talked about in Matthew 24, the birth pangs that precede His coming? Is the rapture soon? That is our discussion today as we're talking to Dr. Gary Frazier on Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve. So Gary, as we approach the break just a couple of minutes ago, we were talking about the birth pangs that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 24. And so I didn't mean to cut you off, but go ahead and continue that thought.
No, that's fine. As I started to say, when Israel became a nation again in 1948, that was a signal to the world that we were now beginning the terminal generation. It's very clear that there is an end time timeline in the Word of God. You know, people just have to come to this reality. One, the world as we know it is not going to continue forever. God has an eternal plan. And as there is a Genesis, there is a Revelation. And God is kind enough and gracious enough throughout Scripture to give us glimpses into what the future holds. And so since Israel is such a key role, first of all, the Jewish people had to be brought back to the land because God promised that He would do that. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 8 says, "Can a nation be born in a day? Yet no sooner is Zion in travail than He brings forth her child." Jeremiah speaks about it. The prophets are prolific about the promise of the return of the Jewish people who had been scattered into all the nations of the world since 70 A.D. But at the end of days, they would be gathered up and put back and become a nation once again. We've witnessed that, and we're in that generation. Secondly, the Jews must be back in their land for end-time biblical prophecy to be fulfilled. For example, there's going to be a temple rebuilt in Jerusalem. That would never happen if the Jews were not present. And we could go on and talk about many things, but due to the limitation of time, let me just give our listeners a quick idea of what I see coming on the in the near term with regard to where we are in God's time plan. First of all, I am convinced that there is an unbelievable, unprecedented, all-out open attack on biblical and moral values today. Everything that we hold dear, according to the Word of God, is under attack. And as a result of that, we're seeing today in our culture, there is a movement that many people in churches are even unaware is taking place, and that is to attack the validity of the Apostle Paul as being an apostle, and thereby negating what Paul teaches in the Word of God. Now, keep in mind, Paul wrote 13 books in the New Testament. But many people say, well, he really was not an apostle because when Judas hung himself, etc., that they drew lots and Matthias became the 12th apostle. We never hear of Matthias again. Doesn't mean that he wasn't a good person. Doesn't mean that he didn't do good things. But that was not God's eternal plan. God revealed himself to the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, and he was to become the disciple, the apostle to the Gentile nations, which is exactly what he was. But this attack to marginalize Paul is because of the fact that there's several different things, but one of those is that Paul strongly comes out and talks about perversion and so forth. For example, in 1 Corinthians 6:9, Paul talks about that there are people, because some of you are liars and swindlers and adulterers and thieves and this and that and the other, and homosexuals as well. None of these people, he says, will inherit eternal life. And then he goes on to say this, but of such were, past tense, some of you. In other words, Paul is saying that all of these, all sin is rebellion against God. And this is where you were. But now that you've come to know Christ, you are changed. Listen, I tell everybody everywhere I go, if you are what you were, then you ain't. Now, I realize that may not be the best grammar, but the point is simply this. Whenever you meet Jesus, he changes you. Yes. And it's a process. And so what Paul is saying is, yes, you were living a lifestyle of sin, but you came to know Christ, and he changed your life, and you turned away from that sin, and now you're on a different path. You see, today we want to say that God loves us just like we are, and that we don't have to change anything, that God will somehow condone our sin. And that is a movement, because all across the religious spectrum today, we have churches that are ordaining homosexuals, lesbians as priests, and so forth and so on. And I'm going to tell you, Paul speaks strongly. So the idea is, let's get rid of Paul. Let's marginalize Paul. Let's say that what he says doesn't matter. And so this is happening. And the second thing that's happening is that so many, and I'll say this because as a former pastor, so many of us have gotten to the place where we're more concerned about building our own personal kingdom than we are the eternal kingdom of God. And so that is of grave concern. But let me just mention a couple of things. Number one, we're standing on the threshold of a worldwide economic collapse. Now, I know this is not, warm, fuzzy talk, Jeff, but the bottom line is, not the entire world is on the precipice of a total collapse of the economic system, which we are aware of. And that's why blockchain technology and so forth has become so widely accepted, because we realize that fiat currency is going to go away. The principle is, when your outgo exceeds your income, it'll be your downfall. We can't keep spending money and printing money, and now we've just learned in the last couple of weeks that now we're going to fire up the printing presses again. Although we know that 85% of all the dollars ever printed have been printed since the Biden administration took over. And by the way, that's from 1776 forward. And so the dollar you have in your pocket was worth 11 cents. It's about to go down even more so. And so we can't spend our way out of this problem we have created, these trillions and trillions of dollars. But more importantly, we're watching lawlessness take place. Big tech's increased censorship, not wanting us to have our freedom of speech to express our own views and opinions and so forth. so we're seeing the all of those freedoms that we have held dear and precious are gradually being stripped away. And you know why that's happening? It's happening because we are moving quickly toward a new world order. President Biden said not long ago there's a new world order coming, and we, Americans, have to lead it. The Pope said that there's a new world order coming just recently. We've been hearing this since Bush 41 was the president, kind of introduced that idea. But it's a biblical teaching in Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 7. So if we're going to have a new one world order, as the Bible says, you can't have a nation that is based on freedoms and democracy, cannot, and has currency in the hands of the common people. So this process started in 1948. The United Nations came on the scene. The European Union came up on the scene again about in 1948. Also, it started with Holland and Luxembourg and Belgium, the first three nations. And today we have this huge conglomeration of 27 or so nations and part of the European Union. But the bottom line is we're moving toward this. And by and large, the world is shrinking, and the world has been setting us up to receive this and to welcome this idea. And it is coming. And so as a result of this, we only have two choices. We can either be choosing to stick our head in the sand and just ignore where we are, or we can understand that God's plan is being set up right before our very eyes if we're paying attention. And that should motivate us, because the truth of the matter is the most important thing in all of this creation to the Lord God himself is that men and women and boys and girls would know him. You know, the Bible tells us in 2 Peter 3, it's God's will that all would come into a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. It's Christ died for all, and he wants us to know him. But at the same time, there is this conflict. We're in a spiritual war for the souls of men and women and boys and girls. But God's plan is going to be fulfilled. We are seeing America virtually dying, and it started in 48, but the snowball the avalanche has been increasing over time with frequency and intensity, and now we're standing on the threshold of something else, not just what's happening in America, but then look at what's happening in Israel. Vladimir Putin is in the Ukraine, but his eye is on Israel. How do we know that? Well, Russia has established 15 military bases in Syria. They have the S-400 missile defense system set up there. The Iranian National Guard is in Syria. They established a warm water port, a submarine base in Lebanon, and they are virtually perched right there on Israel's northern border. Now, let me just tell our listeners to keep watching this, paying attention to what's happening there, because the Bible tells us that the eye of the Lord is upon the land of Israel from the former rains to the latter rains. This is Deuteronomy chapter 11. And the fact is that Putin is getting set for something. He doesn't even realize what he's doing, but we do who study Scripture, because in Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39, it says that God is going to put a hook in the jaw of this person who the Bible calls, in Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 2, he calls him Gog of Magog. Gog is a Hebrew word that means Rosh or head of. Magog is the ancient country, which we now can identify from ancient maps and so forth as being Russia. And the Bible says God is going to put an idea in his mind, and he's going to draw this leader down upon the mountains of Israel. But he's not going to be alone. He's going to have a coalition of Muslim nations that will join him. And in verse 5 of Ezekiel 38, it mentions the first nation named is Persia, which in 1935, Persia became the Islamic Republic of Iran. So why is it that the Iranians are enriching uranium enough to get a bomb? Why is it 2 weeks ago the IAEA said that Iran is farther down the road than they thought, and they are in a breakout position at any moment with regard to a bomb? The mullahs of Iran, who said when they get the bomb, they're going to wipe the Jews off the face of the map, and then they're coming after America. So here we are poised. We see the world poised for this to take place, and yet we're actually going about our business totally oblivious and ignoring what is happening. I think a large degree of this, I have to lay the blame at the feet of the pastors of churches across America for not equipping the people in the pew to understand where we are. And I will tell you, we need motivation right now like we've never had before to pray earnestly that God's will would be done, that our lost family members and friends, that those strongholds would be torn down. In fact, I wrote a paper. I'd be glad to give it to anyone who's interested. They get it on my website at GaryFraser.com. And it's just simply titled, How to Pray for Your Lost Loved Ones. Because we go about praying, asking the Lord to save a person. Well, the Lord's not the problem. It's the person. And in this little paper, I explain how you go about tearing down strongholds that have been built in people's lives, etc. And so my point in all this is the awareness needs to be increased. We need to understand how close we are to the coming of Jesus. And here's the good news. Yes, America's going away eventually, and it grieves me to say that because I'm a patriot. Secondly, the Russian-led Islamic invasion is poised to happen. Here's the good news. Jesus is taking us home to the Father's house before either of those things take place. 15 times in chapters 2 and 3 of the Revelation, the church is named. Beginning in chapter 4, verse 1, John is told, come up here, and I will show you the things which must take place hereafter. And John is caught up into the throne room of God, and there he sees all the world's future events and the tribulation, the horror of that 7 years that is going to come upon the face of the earth when 50%, Jeff, of the world's population is going to perish. And yet the church is not here. We're gone. Our mission is over. We're now caught up to the Father's house prepared for us. And unfortunately, these dark days are coming upon the face of the earth, but they will come to an end when Jesus Christ returns, when he returns again. And for example, in Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 and following, he's going to return physically and visibly to this earth. So the good news for the believer is Jesus is coming soon. The bad news for the world is the darkest days in the history of the world are upon us. And the sad news is that most people are unaware. They're not paying attention. You know, Jesus said this in Matthew 24, verse 37, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. People shall be eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage up until the hour that the flood came. It goes on, the flood came, and they were totally unaware of this. That's my point. Anyway, having said all that, here's the deal. We're just like they were with regard to the fact that they were totally unaware a flood was about to come that would destroy their lives. Most today, outside the church, absolutely. Inside the church, sad but true, we're not aware that the flood, quote unquote, is about to take place. Jesus is coming. He is going to take the true believers home. The world is going to be thrust into a horrible time, and the time is short.
It really is short. I believe that with all my heart. John said this, yep. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him just as he is, and everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. Gary, we were talking off air about how important it is to get the church to live every day as if Jesus Christ could come back today. And that's how the New Testament writers believed, and that's how they wrote. Mm-hmm. So there's an urgency about our Christian lives. There's a purity about our Christian lives. And there is an impetus to share with everyone we come in contact with that the Lord is coming soon, and here is the way of salvation. Here is the ark of safety, so to speak. It's in Jesus and Jesus alone, his death, burial, and resurrection. We're talking to Dr. Gary Fraser, and we're talking about Bible prophecy. We're talking about end times. We're talking about the rapture and what is going on in our world that would make us believe the rapture is coming so very soon. Strengthen your hearts. The coming of the Lord is at hand. The coming of the Lord is near. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. And I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we are going to take a break, and then we'll come back and we'll hear more from Gary. Don't go away.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
Hi, I'm Will.
And I'm Miki.
And we've been married 16 years. You know, one of the things that Miki asked me before we got married, she's like, why do you want to marry me? What is it about me? Really, the Lord had put on my heart that God was putting us together for destiny and for purpose, and that He had a ministry that He desired to do through us, that, you know, we were both ministering on our own, but together that God was going to, you know, use us to minister.
There is no one who is closer to you than your spouse, and there is no one who knows you better, and this is by God's design. Marriage is the first institution that God has given us to shape us and to mold us and to show us ourselves. It's a beautiful picture.
Tune in to By Design as we explore God's true purpose and design for marriage. Just visit the podcast page at AFR.net.
Oops, there's a piece I missed a little bit.
Grandpa, why do we always pick up litter when we go hiking?
Well, we're just making it nicer for people who come after us a little bit. It's called stewardship.
My grandfather taught me that you should always leave a place better than you found it. That it's important to invest in the lives of your children and grandchildren, leaving them with a godly legacy they can build on. That's why I decided to set up a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation.
It's called stewardship.
I know that my gift will support a ministry that honors the biblical principles I hold dear, and it's a way to invest in the future of our country. The AFA Foundation also arranged for me to have a steady fixed income, so I don't have to worry in the midst of changing times.
Call the AFA Foundation today to find out how you can set up a charitable gift annuity. Just call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're talking to my friend, Dr. Gary Frazier, and we're talking about end times, Bible prophecy, and is the rapture of the church imminent? Now, Gary, Ed Heinsohn had been on the program several times with me and Dr. Paige Patterson, and we've talked about this issue. But if we play devil's advocate on your position of a pre-millennial, pre-tribulation rapture, and I'm sure you've gotten, you know, challenged on your views because that is not the prevailing view today. How do you defend that from Scripture? What gives the listener hope that the rapture really does come before any of these terrible things come to planet Earth?
Well, Jeff, first of all, that's a great question, and yes, I'm always challenged by someone who has either read something or heard something contrary to what I believe the Scripture teaches, and they want to discuss those issues, and I'm always open and willing to do so with a sweet spirit, not in an argumentative attitude. That said, you know, the key, I think, to understanding this is Matthew 24, verse 42. Again, Jesus said we're to watch for His coming. Now, this is really critical. The only biblical prophecy position that is watching for the coming of Jesus is the pre-trib rapture, because every other position is watching for the start of the tribulation period, or they're watching for the appearing of the Antichrist. They're not looking for Jesus to come. Now, I realize that sounds very simplistic, but that's just the way it is, because He told us, watch for Him, nothing else. Now, the second part of that is, of course, we have other evidences pertaining to Scripture. For example, as I already mentioned, the appearance of the word churches before John is called up to see, the final days in the history of the world and so forth. And the bottom line is, my good friend, Tim LaHaye and Ed Heinsohn, wrote one of the best books ever on the rapture of the church and so forth and so on, talking about how, and of course there's tons and tons of scripture involved in this, but nevertheless, I have studied every position, the mid-trib position, post-trib. I've studied preterism, I've studied pre-wrath and so forth and so on. So, the bottom line is that I approach that subject matter with a desire. God, whatever your word says is what I want. I'm not trying to propagate an idea that is not biblical. I want to just teach what your word teaches. I've done something interesting through the years, Jeff. We've taken through our ministry over 2,200 senior pastors to Israel for equipping on equipping journey. These are just pastors now, okay? Senior pastors of churches. And every one of the groups that we have taken, I have personally asked them. This has been going on since 1985. I've asked the question, if you hold a position on biblical prophecy other than a pre-trib rapture position, then I want you to be honest and answer this question. Do you hold this position because you have studied the Word of God for yourself and you are convinced by the Holy Spirit that that is what the Bible teaches, and that is what is correct? Do you know that out of 2,200 pastors, this is shocking, I have one pastor, raise his hand and say, I'm a historical premillennialist, that's what I was taught in seminary, and so forth and so on. And the rest of the guys basically agreed that their position on prophecy was not based on their own studies, but based on what they had been taught by either a professor in Bible college or seminary, or a pastor that they loved and appreciated. Now, here is the danger that brings to all of us, and that is that people are adopting positions based on what they've heard, not based on what they have studied. The Bible tells us in the book of Timothy, Paul would write and say, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so the bottom line is, we are commanded to study the Scripture so that we are then able to rightly divide the word of truth. In other words, to then understand biblical doctrine as God intended for it to be. And so today what we have is that if you ask the average pastor, and I would, if you're listening to us today and you're in a church other than First Baptist Texarkana, obviously, that you go to your pastor and you just ask them, what do you believe about biblical prophecy and why do you believe it? I think most people are going to be shocked that in most cases the pastor is going to start dancing around the flagpole and just not deal with that like so many politicians do when they're asked the hard question. And they're going to be shocked what they learn. The bottom line here is this. God's intention is not to make things complicated so that we, the people, can't understand it. God wants us to understand his word so that we can then obey his word and act on it accordingly. And so my job has been all these years, God just put it in my heart. I've tried to be faithful to teach the inerrant, infallible word of God, just like you do, Jeff, and so many others that we know and love. But the bottom line is, that's really not what's happening in the great majority of churches in America. And I will tell you something that's happening in the world that is not happening in America. While we want to sit around and kind of quibble over whether Jesus is coming or not, or rather just totally ignore it, in foreign countries where people have great physical and material needs, let me tell you something, they're praying for and longing for the coming of Jesus Christ. They're looking for Jesus to come, and they're begging Jesus to come, and their prayer is the prayer of the first century, even so come, Lord Jesus. The problem in the West is we've become so saturated with materialism. We've done what John warned us not to do, and that is we've fallen in love with the things of this world to the point that we're not even longing for the coming of Jesus. You know, when a preacher today stands up and talks about the coming of Jesus, instead of this yearning in the lives of the people he's talking to, there's basically a yawning. Like, you know, we're not really interested in this. It doesn't. What does this have to do with me? Well, it has everything to do with us, because what we've been talking about this morning on your program, we're not talking about abstract ideas. We're talking about our lives. We're talking about the things that are going to impact the people. For example, God has been setting this world stage now for some time to get us ready, to get the world ready for what is about to take place, and yet most people are unaware of it. For example, why is there such a push in Israel to rebuild the temple that began in 1967 when the Jews reclaimed Temple Mount? Why is that? Because God has promised that there'll be a temple rebuilt when the signing of the peace covenant, Daniel 9, verse 24 through verse 27, takes place, that marks the beginning of the 2,520 days of the tribulation period, where, as I said a moment ago, half the population of the world will die. God has set the stage, and this urgency to rebuild this temple is there because, one, we're told in Scripture is going to happen, but secondly, the Jews believe if we build it, he, that is the Messiah, will come and bring peace. Well, this pressure, this move is underway, and this could not have happened before 1948, and not even couldn't have taken place until the Jews liberated Judea, Samaria, etc. in June of 1967. Now everything is ready to put into the new temple. You know this. You visited the Institute of Temple Treasures in Jerusalem. Everything is prepared and ready for the new temple. That should speak volumes to us that we're this much closer to the sounding of the trumpet and the catching away of the saints when Jesus appears in the sky. And by the way, this is not a new concept. There are 8 raptures, Jeff, as you know, 8 raptures in the Bible that are taught. You know, the Bible says Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. The Bible talks about as I said, we don't have time to go into it, but Elijah was caught up in a whirlwind. So 8 different raptures appear in Scripture. So this is not a new idea.
Well, what is new, though, Gary, Old Testament saints, they just saw the one coming. Even New Testament saints, New Testament, when they were hearing Jesus, the disciples were steeped in the fact that there is only one coming, so there wouldn't be a second coming, and he sets up his kingdom. This might be a little off topic, but it's a question I've had. How did the Jewish mindset, how did they see the judgment? Did they see just like one judgment day? Because, you know, there are several different judgments in Scripture. The Great White Throne judgment is far different from the judgment seat of Christ. How did an Old Testament believer understand the judgment?
I think that Jewish people overall saw the mountaintop. And prophetic history and the teaching of Scripture is, you know, there's a timeline here on the top of the mountains, but there are valleys in between and so forth. And I don't think they really realized the full capacity of it. Their idea was the Messiah is going to come one day, and when he comes, it's going to be peace. When Jesus came, obviously the whole world was not going to receive him as the Prince of Peace, and so the Jewish people rejected him. But the main problem that Jewish people had with the coming of Jesus the first time was that, as their, you know, Scriptures taught, accursed is the man who dies upon a tree or is hung upon a tree. And for Jesus to be crucified by the Romans, they just simply said, it can't be him. But I will tell you something interesting. In John 19, the Bible tells us that the Jewish leadership, especially the high priest and so forth, they knew that Jesus was who he said he was, because they had a timeline that is found in the book of Daniel, and they knew who Jesus was. But he was not what they wanted to be, because it was all about their position and power. And so they categorically rejected Jesus Christ. But the real issue, I think, is simply this, is that while we do not believe in progressive revelation, we think the Bible says what it says, and that's God's word to us, and that outlaws any future writings such as the Book of Mormon, and etc. What we do believe is progressive illumination. You know, the Bible tells us in Daniel is told to close up and seal the words of this scroll or this book. And in the end times, people will go to and fro in their understanding. shall be increased. Today, we have the ability, because of where we are in God's eternal timeline, culturally speaking, to see things and to understand things that previous generations could not. For example, we now can see how Revelation 13, verse 16 through 18, when it talks about how every person will receive a mark or a number on their right hand or their forehead, without it they cannot buy nor sell. Can you imagine? Go back 100 years. How could anybody possibly think, how could that happen? I mean, that was an impossibility 100 years ago. Today, we're very much familiar with biochip implant technology. We're familiar. We have satellites in outer space. We understand RFIDs and so forth and so on. And these are just some of the things that we know about. And there's even more advanced technology that the average person is not made privy to. So having said all that, as time marches on, we understand and see things more clearly than any generation ever before, and that is not by accident, it is by design. So I think the Jewish people had a very limited view of what the future would hold, other than the fact the Messiah was going to come, and Judaism, that ultimately the Messiah would reign from the city of Jerusalem and so forth, and he's going to do that in the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ, according to Revelation 20, verse 4 and following. But that said, they didn't get the big picture. They didn't understand it and so forth. And, for example, they didn't even understand the judgments. In the book of Daniel, chapter 12, we're told in that passage of Scripture that people will be raised at the end of time and so forth, etc., for a judgment. For example, in Daniel 12, 2, it says, multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contentment. And so they looked ahead to a time of the resurrection of the body, but not fully understanding that, for example, as you mentioned, there's going to be a for those of us who are believers, which they didn't have any awareness of. That's why Paul calls the church a mystery. They had no idea that Jesus was going to come, that the Messiah would come, and that the Messiah wouldn't just come, but that he would die, and then he would indwell us, that he would live in us and live his life through us. They had no concept of that whatsoever. So for them to be able to understand, even today, to understand the judgment seat of Christ, which is not a judgment but an evaluation concerning the motivation of our works that we do, they had no concept of these kinds of things. It was beyond them where they were. But now, because of the advancement, as I said, of time, and the revelation of our minds being able to comprehend those things, we understand things that previous generations just could not.
Hey, Gary, let me ask you this question. Where do you put Ezekiel 38 and 39 in the timeline of the second coming?
Yes. Yeah, great question, and I'm glad you asked it. Some of my dear friends who I love and respect, they have it at the middle of the tribulation period. Others have it at the end. The fact is, it has to be in the beginning, because it says the weapons of warfare will be used for fuel for 7 years. You have no reason to burn weapons of warfare into the millennium. It can only be either just before or just after the coming of Jesus for the church.
Amen. Well, we've been talking to Dr. Gary Frazier, and we've been talking about end times. Bible prophecy, is the rapture imminent? And you can go online and find out more about Gary Frazier and his ministry. He takes pastors to Israel, and God is using him in great ways. Well, thank you for tuning in today to Real Truth for Today. And I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I will be with you again tomorrow as we lift up the name of Jesus. Go shine and share, and may God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.